Okay, let's begin. First of all, good evening to everybody. The shiur that I'm going to share with you was based on both a shiur and an article delivered and written by a rabbi in Israel by the name of Rav Mordechai Breuer. Zichrono Levracha, Rav Breuer passed away this year. And so I thought that I would dedicate the shiur L'Ilui Nishmato, a very unique individual. For anybody who's ever opened up a Dat Mikra Tanakh, and the introduction to the Dat Mikra Tanakh, including the section on the lengthy section on biblical grammar and Tamei Mikra and all of the technical nitty gritty that we very rarely get to, but the scholars of the world and delve into in depth, and that was his bread and butter. He wrote each one of those throughout for the entire Tanakh. He was a scholar of the highest order. He was one of the founding scholars of the Herzog Teachers College in Yeshivat Har Etzion. Really a very unique individual. And as you'll see from the direction that the shiur takes at the end, a very creative thinker. And I had the pleasure of meeting him, although many, many years ago, and hearing a number of shiurim from him. This particular shiur is written up in one of his farm, and I thought it would be appropriate this year, therefore, to share a little bit of his Torah with all of you. The topic of the discussion is so that our children will ask questions. Kidei she'atinok yish'al. It's a theme that runs through the entire first half of the Seder, or first quarter of the Seder. And what I will demonstrate with you, or show you, and share with you, is all of the various components that we introduce into the Seder night, defined according to the various sources as things that we do for the purpose of encouraging our children to ask questions. Kidei she'atinok yishal. Child has to be a little bit of a precocious child, and he has to recognize things that are out of the ordinary, but nonetheless, the questions are the out of the ordinary things we do are designed to encourage the questions. The question I have on the question is assuming for the moment that we introduce an out of the ordinary performance act ritual for the sole purpose of encouraging our children to ask questions. The immediate question that one has to ask is, let's assume for the moment that the question is asked, that the child says, okay, so why do we do this? What answer are you going to give them? Assuming that you've introduced something for the sole purpose of encouraging a question, and that question is then asked, what answer do you have to give them? And if the answer is, we just did this so that you would ask the question, then that's equivalent to saying, why? Because. And many parents have answered their children's question of why with the answer, because. Doesn't go over well, usually. And yet, that seems to be the underlying theme of at least the first piece of the Seder. So what we're going to look at is the Seder of the Seder, if you will, or the order of the Seder, and all of the different components of it up through the beginning of Magid. Kadesh, Orchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, and the beginning of Magid. That's essentially the focus of our discussion. And it's interesting to note that all of the rituals that we do at the Seder that are designed specifically for the purpose of encouraging our children to ask questions are all focused on the first four parts of the Seder, from Kaddish to Magid. In all of the sources, that's the arena in which those rituals are introduced. Post-Magid, post the four questions of the child, in the Manishtana, that whole theme of Kidei she'atinok yishal, of things that we do in order to encourage questions, drops away, which is also part of the mystery. What happened in that early part of the Seder? The story begins with the Mishnah, and you have the sources in front of you. We're going to start with source number one. On the first page of your source booklet, I have put the relevant Mishnayot from which the structure of the Seder is derives, and beneath it the text of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch relevant to these Mishnayot and to our discussion. The rest of the pages include various sources collected from different places, but I put all of the primary sources, the Mishnah, the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch, on the front page. The Mishnah starts, Masechet, in the parak of Arvei Pesachim, the Mishnah starts, Mezgulo Kos Rishon. We pour the first cup of wine. We call that pouring the first cup of wine. We call the first cup of wine in the Seder Kiddush, or in the context of the Aramaic of the Seder, Kaddish. But that's pretty standard. Every Yontif meal starts with Kiddush, nothing particularly out of the ordinary there. Mishnah Gimel is where our focus begins. Heviu lefanav. They bring it before him. They bring what? Doesn't say. But something is brought to the table. Mitabel b'chazeret. And he dips the lettuce, or the maror, which was a form of chazeret, is a form of maror most likely connected to our romaine lettuce. They dip the chazeret into the charoset, and that's the first dipping of the Seder. We, in our Seders, have replaced this maror dipping into charoset with karpas dipping into salt water. That transition in and of itself is an interesting discussion. But certainly in the Mishnah, the first dipping, which we call karpas, was done with maror, not with another vegetable. We do it with all kinds of vegetables, from cucumber to celery to potato to who, I don't know what other customs. There are more customs as to what to use for karpas than I think communities in the world. Nonetheless, the original Mishnah custom was to use maror. That's why there were two types of maror. One used for the mitzvah of maror, one used for karpas. Mitabel b'chazeret ad shemagia l'paperat hapat. Until we reach the breaking of the bread. Again, a mysterious phrase which is open to interpretation. Some say it means that we dip the karpas or the chazeret, and that's the only thing we eat until we break bread. Others say that that's the beginning of the, right? We dip the lettuce prior to the breaking of the bread, meaning we have a first vorspeis, a first course before hamotzi. What's a vorspeis in English?
An appetizer.
And we'll come back to that term momentarily, but that is also the possible interpretation of this Mishnah. Mitabel v'chazeret, one eats as an appetizer the lettuce before the breaking of the bread, ad shemagia l'paperat hapat. Heviu lefanav, they bring it before him. What are they bringing? Interesting question. I'm glad you asked. What are they bringing? Heviu lefanav, matzah, v'chazeret, v'charoset, u'shnei tavshilim. Matzah, chazeret or maror, charoset, two types of food, u'bamikdash, ayu mavi'in lefanav gufo shel Pesach. And in the Beit HaMikdash, they would bring the entire Korban Pesach at this time of the Seder. What's the obvious question? Somebody asked me an obvious question. Excuse me? Well, when you start the Seder, is the Seder plate not on the table? Yeah. So they bring the Seder plate with all of the food on it. There's a technical or textual question in this mission. How many times do they bring the maror to the table? How many times do they bring it to the table? Twice. Heviu lefanav, they bring it before. And he dips the maror and he eats the carpets. Heviu lefanav, they bring it before. Why do they have to bring it twice? Anyone say when the Gemara is coming? We'll come to that Gemara in a moment. But that's the question. Why does the Mishnah say they bring something to the table twice? Then, mazgula kos sheni. Then they pour the second cup of wine. Second cup of wine in the Haggadah is poured at what point?
Magid.
The beginning of Magid. just before the four questions. V'kana ben Shoel. And here the child asks the four questions. Any main dat b'ben, abibim lamdo. If the child can't ask the questions, then is too young to ask the questions, then the father teaches him the questions, or you ask the spouse, or you ask yourself. There's a whole discussion about the fact that the Seder has to be conducted in a question and answer dialogue. There are source pages at the entrance to see. And the questions in the Mishnah we'll come back to a little bit later, but they are listed here. They are a little bit different than the questions we have in our Manishtana, and we will talk momentarily about why that is so. And finally, the last paragraph, Lefi da'atosho ben aviv melamdo, in accordance with the child's understanding, the father teaches him. That's essentially a reference to the notion of, according to the knowledge of the child, the father teaches him, which is essentially a reference to the Arba Banim, the reference to the fact that there's different methodologies and different levels of understanding in the Haggadah. And Matru Begnuto Misayim Beshvach, and the structure of Magid, which is not our discussion for now, starts with the negative, ends with the positive. That discussion we've had, we talked a little bit about last Shabbat. So let's start with this issue of Hevi'u Lefanav twice. Why do they have to bring whatever they're bringing to the table, they bring twice? What is it that they're bringing? It's an interesting machloket. Rashi says to bring the maror. The Rambam, if you look on the Rambam down on the right-hand side of the page, right after the little brackets, by the way, in the text of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, where you see these little brackets that says Kadesh and Orchatz and Karpas and Yachatz, that's not in the text of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. That I added. It's the advantage of computers. I added for us to be able to see where the Rambam or the Shulchan Aruch is addressing the components that parallel what we are familiar with in the Seder. So in the line that begins, Kid Kadesh, B'tchilam Mavin Kos L'chol Echad Be'echad, everybody has their own cup, they make their own Kiddush, or make Kiddush together. V'achakach Mevarech Al Netilat Yadayim V'Natal Yadav. The Rambam's definition of Netilat Yadayim for Karpas was with a bracha. The Shulchan Aruch has it without a bracha. It's a machloket. U'mevin Shulchan Aruch. And then you bring an entire table, all set, Shulchan Aruch. V'alav maror v'yarek acher, you bring maror, you bring another vegetable, you bring matzah, you bring charoset, you bring gufo shel keves ha-pesach, you bring the meat of the korban pesach, the meat of the korban chagiga. Then in halacha bet, matchil mevarech borei pri adama, and you begin to make the bracha, borei pri adama, and you take the yarek, you dip it into the charoset, you eat a kazayit. We'll come back to all of this. This is karpas. We'll come back to it as a separate discussion. Then you take the table away. So you bring the table, you bring the Shulchan Aruch, you bring the Seder plate, then you take it away. And then you ask the four questions. And you look later on down at the bottom of the page, he talks about actually, here he doesn't talk about it. I'll show you the source of the Rambam in a moment, where he talks about the fact that you bring the table back. You take the table away. You bring the Seder plate to the table, and then you're all set. You're ready. You make Kiddush. You have the Seder plate there. According to the Rambam, you wash inside your dime, you eat the karpas, and you take the Seder plate away. Why do you do that? Where does the Rambam get that from? So take a look at the sources. This is where the story begins. You start on page 2. Gemara in Psachim Daf Kuf Tet Vav Amud Bet, source number 4, says as follows. Ein okrin et ha-shochan el lifnei mish omer hagada. The table is removed only from before the one who recites the Haggadah. Why is what are we talking about when we talk about removing the table? Why does the Gemara assume that we remove the table? I assume it's because in the Mishnah, we talked about bringing the table twice. So in order to bring the table twice, one time you have to remove it to be able to bring it back. Assuming that you bring the whole Seder table to the plate to the table, Then at some point you have to take it away to be able to bring it back a second time. The question is, why do you do that? So first of all, let's talk for a moment before we read the rest of the Gemara about what the meaning of taking the table away is. What's the significance of the phrase, Okrin et ha-shulchan? You uproot the table. What does that mean? We take our dining room tables, big, heavy wooden tables, and we move it into the other room, fold it up, take the leaves out. What are we talking about?
They had individual tables.
Oh, so clearly, first of all, they had individual tables, and they ate on individual tables, and when you finished eating, you removed the table. Take a look on the bottom of the page, source number 8. This is the Rambam in Hilchot Brachot. It has nothing to do with Pesach. Gomumi le'echol, whenever you finished eating, mesalkin et ha-shulchan u'mechabdin et ha-makom she'achlu bo ve'achakach notlin et yedehem. You would remove the table, clean the area where you ate, and then wash your hands for benching my machon. In other words, as a preparation for Berkat HaMazon, one of the things you had to do was clean up so that you're not sitting and benching with your tables, with your plates full of schmutz. It's not nice to bench in the place where you've got schmutz on the table, the dirty plates. So what we do is, in our world, when we have fixed tables, we clear the table. We take the plates into the kitchen and we clear the table. We make the table a little bit more mechubad for Berkat HaMazon, a little bit more respect. In those days, you ate on the table, you took the whole table and you removed it. So the notion of okrin et ha-shulchan is essentially a preparation stage for benching. The problem is, we bring the Seder table to the Seder plate to the table, and then we remove it. Removing the table is equivalent to, read, preparing for benching. But we're not ready to bench because we haven't eaten yet. Now go back to the source. Now go back to source number 4. Gemara asks the question, Lama okrinet ha-shulchan? Why do we uproot the table? Why do we remove the table? We haven't eaten yet. So what's the point of removing the table from before, as if we're ready to bench? We haven't even gotten to Magid, let alone Shulchan Aruch. Says the Gemara, Amr deber Rabbi Yanai, kedei shiakidu tinokot ve'yishalu. It's an excellent question. We do it in order that the children should see that we do something very odd. They should see we do something very odd, and they should ask the question, Tata, I don't understand. You brought the plate to the table as if you're ready to eat. And now, you took the plate away. You took the matzah away, you took the marah away, you cleaned up as if you're ready to bench, but we haven't eaten yet. The Gemara tells a little story. Abaye havayativ kame de rabba. Abaye was sitting in the presence of Rabba in the Seder. And he saw that Rabbi took the plate with all of the Seder material and he took it away from the table. Amar Luhu, Abaye said to Rabbi, Adain lo ko'achlinan, we haven't eaten yet. You're taking the plate away? You've never seen this before. This is very strange. We haven't eaten yet and you're taking the plate away. Says the Gemara, Amar le Rabbi. Rabbi answered him and said, Tartan milomar manishtana. Great question, Abaye. Such a good question. You have exempted us from saying the manishtana, because it doesn't make a difference what question you ask. Any question that will be the jumping start for the discussion of the Magid is legitimate. Here's a great question. So I don't have to say the manishtana this year because you asked me such a great question. So I won't address what happened between the time of the Mishnah and the time of Abaye and Rabbah. It's the first time Abaye ever saw them removing the table. Interesting issue historically. I want to address it right now. But you understand the significance. We remove the Seder plate as a question, as a game, as a ploy. The purpose of removing the plate is in order for the children to, as if to say, we have finished eating, we're ready to bench. Except that we haven't even started. At most, we've had karpas. At most. Maybe urchatz and karpas, that's what we've had. And how much is karpas at the end of the day? Right? How much is karpas at the end of the day? We're going to talk about how much is karpas at the end of the day in a moment. But at most, we've had karpas. So we've had a salad. Granted, according to the Rambam, you have a salad. According to us, you have a little half a piece of cucumber, less than a kazayit, that's karpas. The Rambam had a full salad lettuce plate for his karpas. Okay, so you had a little bit more to eat than we did. But for that, you invited all these people to the Seder. There's 30 people sitting around your Seder table. You serve salad, you clear the table, you ready to bench? Says the child, Tata, I don't understand. What's going on? An interesting discussion that's generated amongst the Rishonim, when do you bring the Seder table back? You have to take it away in order to generate the question. When do you bring it back? See, there's a three-way machloket Rishonim as to when the Seder table is brought back. Tosfot is the most creative opinion. Tosfot, source number 5. Lefi she'akru ha'shulchan lifnei mi shomer ha'gadah. He took the table plate away from the person who recites the Haggadah. V'yoseh ha'seder, the one who's conducting the Seder. Therefore, Katani heviu lefanav matzah. That's why the Mishnah says you bring back the plate the second time. The Tosfot understands the second heviu lefanav in the Mishnah, the second reference to returning the plate, because it was taken away. Vakirata shechani kadesh yishal haben. The purpose of taking the plate away is that the child should ask a question. Vaviv onelo, and the father answers him. What does the father answer him? So I need an answer. The child asks why. Educationally, you have to give an answer. If your answer is because, not particularly satisfying answer to the question. So the father answers, we're going to bring back the Seder plate. Not to worry. We need the Seder plate at the table. We have to dip a second time. We have to eat maror. We're going to need matzah. V'ben yishal, lama anachnu matpilim shtei pamim. Then the child will ask, why do we need to dip a second time? When we take the table plate away, we bring it back right away. It's a game. We take the table, Seder plate, we take it away. Then we wait. And we wait to see if our children pick up. This is out of the ordinary. They ask a question. Why? And we answer. Because. Right? Because. Great question. Right? Because. And then the moment they've asked the question, we bring it back. So clearly we've taken it away for no functional reason other than to get them to ask the question. When we bring it back, according to Tosfot, is immediately because I need the matzah and the maror to recite the magid. I have to recite the magid over the matzah and maror. The Shulchan Aruch... No, the dialogue that takes place is over the dipping. When you bring it back is the matzah mora alav sharei tzurich lomar b'hagadah matzah zu ze mora ze. You have to bring it back in order to be able to tell the story of the magid. K'damar lechem oni shonim alav durim harbe. Mahalach ma'anya, you have to have the matzah on the table, says the.
What's the chance that Tosfot bring it around to the dipping? Because in Banish Tanah, when he asked about the dipping, he didn't see it.
We're going to get to that issue. But that's not Tosfot's issue. That's the Meiri's issue. We'll get to that. But that's not. We'll get to that too. Source number 6 is the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says you bring the Seder plate back right before Avadim Ayinu, when you begin the Magid itself. And the Rambam says you bring it back before Rambam Gamliel, Pesach Zeh, Matzah Zu. When you point to them, they have to be on the table, so you bring it back there. But they all agree that at some point or another you're going to bring the Seder plate back to the table, because you only took it away in order to encourage the question. So I come back to my question with which I started the shiur. And this is going to be the recurring theme for the first half of this year. Namely, we encourage the child to ask the question, why? And then we answer. Well, you've got to give him an answer. It's not enough to say, we did this in order for you to ask the question. No child who recognizes and who asks the question, why, is going to be satisfied with, because we wanted you to ask why. So educationally, it's a very poor game to play. And so the Rishonim, in each one of these instances, attempt to try to offer some kind of explanation as to what it is that we're doing that would satisfy the child's curiosity. So for example, in this case, in source number 9, the Maharal suggests the following. We remove the table in order that the child should be dismayed and ask the question. Why do we remove the table? We should eat. We're all sitting around the table. Friday night, when you sit down around the table, you have 30 guests at your Shabbos table. You make Kiddush, you make Hamotzi, and then you eat. You ever sit down at your Friday night table, make Kiddush, make Hamotzi, and then talk for 2 hours before you serve the main course? A little bit strange. Ready to eat, and you take, and then you bench. You haven't eaten anything. So what are you going to answer? Says the Maral. V'yashiv lo, ki yesh lanu l'saper b'yitziat Mitzrayim kodem achila. You tell him. We have a mitzvah called Magid. We have to tell the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim before we can eat. So we're not ready to eat yet. You're right. It's a good question, but we're not ready to eat yet. Because we have to do the primary mitzvah of the night, which is telling the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim. Satisfactory answer?
No.
No, why not?
Because you have to explain why you took it away.
Well, I explained why I took it away, because I'm not ready to eat yet. But that only generates another question, which is, why did you bring it in the first place? Right? If you took it away because you're not ready to eat, because you have to tell the story of Magid, so why did you bring it? If you brought it because you want to eat, so why did you take it away? So the real answer is, we brought it because we need it for the matzah and the maror in order to tell the story about the matzah and the maror. We took it away in order to tell you, in order to get you to ask the question why we took it away, so we could tell you that we're not ready to eat. We could also just say to the child, okay, matzah maror is on the table, but we're not ready to eat yet because we need to go through Magid. But nonetheless, that, says the Maral, is an attempt to try to resolve this tension. Ask a question and then leave it unanswered. So where are we at? From this Mishnah, to summarize this first part of the Shir, you have a little chart in the middle of the second column on page 2. This is the text of the Mishnah as we have it, and all of the parts of the Seder that we have seen so far and what they are based on. The Mishnah again starts with Mazgulo Kos Rishon, that's Kiddush. Heviu Lefanav, that phrase refers to bringing the table, either according to Rambam, the whole Seder plate, or according to Rashi, just the Maror. And then we eat Karpas. We'll come back to Karpas in a moment. Then the Gemara says we remove the table, Akirat HaShulchan, solely for the purpose of encouraging the question. Then we bring it back, because we need it for the Magid. And then we pour the second cup of wine, and we recite Magid, starting with Manishtan. That's the Mishnah and the components of the Seder that are there. What's missing in that list? I have Kadesh, I have Karpas, I have Magid. What's missing? Orchatz and Yachatz. So we've dealt with the first issue, Akirat HaShulchan, the removing of the table. The other issues that I want to deal with tonight are Karpas, Orchatz and Yachatz. You had a question?
Yeah. According to this list, does that mean the Seder plate is not on the table when you make Kiddush?
It doesn't need to be on the table when you make Kiddush.
It can be.
Correct.
Is it that we understand that it seems to be the Rambam answers the question that Manishtana is a thing that the kid is.
Mm-hmm.
And he says the answer to that question is then the four things that we say are fear kashas.
Mm-hmm.
He says that's what you answer the kid. Everybody, just the kid says the Manishtana.
Right, but we're not up to the Manishtana yet.
Right. I thought you covered the thing about what do we answer?
To which question? To which question?
A Manishtana.
I haven't addressed the Manishtana question at all. I've addressed only the question of why do we remove the Seder table.
But that's when the kid says Manishtana.
No,
it's
not.
Seen anything
it's
else.
Not. That's exactly the mystery here.
He hasn't seen anything.
Correct.
He doesn't know it's different.
Wait. Let's one step at a time. We are not at the Manishtana yet. We are at the point in the sequence of the evening. We're at the point where we remove the Seder plate in order to get him to ask the question. Which question? Why did we remove the Seder plate? Not the four questions of the Manishtana. We'll get to that in the mission in a moment, right? But that the Gemara is clear from the story of Abaye and Rava, and the Rambam is clear in the Tosfot. They all say the same thing. The question is not the Manishtana. The question being asked here is why do we remove the Seder table? When we normally would eat first, we're essentially playing the game as if we're about to bench, we haven't eaten yet. That's a separate question from the Manishtana. I will come back to the question of the Manishtana in a few moments. So let's hold the Manishtana and then we'll come back to that issue.
I don't want to lead you too far down this digression, but when Rava said to Abaye that it was the equivalent.
Right. Abaye has, in the Gemara, there's this notion that any question can replace the Manishtana. But we don't pass on that way. Right? The Rambam, the Gemara's dialogue had the notion that any question would be a good alternative to the Manishtana. Right, that's what you were referring to?
Well, that's what you said before.
So that's not the Rambam. That's the Gemara.
Right.
Right, that's the Gemara Psachim, but we don't follow that. Lemaisa, we don't follow that. The Manishtana has its own special status. We'll talk about that in a moment. Yes? So on the face of it, it looks like we're looking for any question. By the end of the shiur tonight, I will try to explain to you why I think we're looking for a very specific question and very specific set of questions. As I alluded to before, all of the things we do that are defined as in order to get the children to ask questions are between Kaddish and Magid. There is nothing we do in the rest of the Seder that is defined as for the purpose of asking questions. Right, but I'm saying if it's that defined, then there's something about that part of the Seder that specifically is addressing these questions. Let's jump to Karpas for a moment. Karpas is a fascinating story. Karpas is a fascinating story. In the Mishnah, Karpas is salad. In the Mishnah, Karpas is chazeret. It's a lettuce type of maror. It's not another type of vegetable. And the Mishnah and the Gemara, therefore, has an interesting dialogue, a question, around the fact that they were eating maror twice. Now, we don't eat maror twice, so we avoid that whole question. But the question that the Gemara asks works along the following lines. I'm not going to go through it in the text. Just follow the thought process for a moment. If at the beginning of the meal you eat maror, not for the purpose of the mitzvah. Why do you eat maror at the beginning of the meal? Because it's typical and normal to eat salad at the beginning of the meal. If you ate, however, maror at the beginning of the meal as your salad, because your maror is lettuce, then do you need to eat maror again the second time? After all, you already fulfilled the mitzvah of maror. And send the rationale of the question. I eat the maror at the beginning of the meal because I want to have salad. But because the maror is also functions as the salad, the lettuce, in particular, romaine lettuce, functions as maror, the moment I've done that, I've essentially fulfilled the mitzvah of maror. So why do I have to eat maror a second time? No, the Gemara does. Only we who have replaced the whole system with a different vegetable and less than a shear, etc., we have a different issue. In the Gemara, it's clear, and the Rambam paskens this way, that you ate chazeret, you dipped it in the charoset, and you ate a kazayit minimally. You ate a shear. You had a full salad plate. That seems to be the way mara was done at the time of the Gemara. And certainly at the time of the Mishnah. Sorry, the way karpas was done at the time of the Mishnah. So the Gemara asks the question, why do I need to eat maror twice? And the Gemara offers two possible explanations as to why I need to eat maror a second time. The first time, the salad is normal. The second time is a question. What's the question? So now there's a concept in the halacha called mitzvot tzrichot kavanah. Mitzvot tzrichot kavanah means that if I do a mitzvah, do I need to have the intent of fulfilling the mitzvah as a prerequisite to fulfilling the mitzvah? Can I do a mitzvah inadvertently? I eat chazeret for the purpose of a salad. Can I also fulfill the mitzvah of maror at the same time? If I have in mind that I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of maror, fine. But let's say I don't have in mind that I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of maror. I want to eat salad. But it happens to be the same menu as my maror. Do I automatically fulfill the mitzvah of maror? That's a machloket, a general machloket in Shas. In the Talmud as a whole, what is the status of do mitzvot require a prerequisite of intent? So the Gemara says as follows. work through the rationale. If I hold that mitzvot require intent, active intent, then I ate the salad at the beginning of the meal as a salad, and I eat the maror as maror, and everything's fine. But if I ate the maror as salad, and I don't need intent to fulfill the mitzvah, then why do I need to eat maror again? I've already fulfilled the mitzvah at the beginning of the meal. You understand the rationale? Now take a look at the top of page 3. Second paragraph. Dilma le'olam mitzvot ein tzuchot kavana. Maybe in fact mitzvot do not require active intent. And you're right, I ate the salad at the beginning of the meal as maror, and I should be able to fulfill the mitzvah of maror in that eating. Why do I need why do I need the second eating of maror later in the meal? Answers the Gemara, so that the children should ask the question. Hey, Tata, I don't understand this. We already ate maror. Why do I have to eat maror again? Excuse me?
The only reason to eat Korach is because maybe we didn't...
Leave Korach out of the picture right now. Korach is a whole different discussion. We'll come back to Korach. We'll discuss Korach at length.
So what bracha did they make on this?
Oh, that's an interesting issue. On the salad they made Bar-Pri Adama, because they weren't fulfilling the mitzvah of maror. Again, if you're fulfilling the mitzvah of maror, you can make both brachas of Bar-Pri Adama and Achilas maror. If they're not fulfilling the mitzvah of maror, then they'll make Achilas maror later on. But here the Gemara makes an interesting observation. The second time we eat maror, if I fulfill the mitzvah of maror the first time, then what do I need a second maror for? Says the Gemara. I do it in order that there should be an oddity for the children. So according to the Gemara, which is the oddity? The first maror or the second? The second. Interesting. Right? The second. So the first maror, the karpas, seems to be in the Gemara an assumption that karpas is quite normal. It's quite standard. Comes along Rashi in the Mishnah. Yes?
So I understand we're doing all this to get the children to ask. What if there's two adults at the table, or what if there's only one person by himself and there's no children?
What do you do for the manishtana?
Well,
so the Mishnah says you have to ask yourself. The Mishnah says if there's no children to ask the manishtana, spouses ask each other, and if there's no spouse, you ask yourself. I assume the same thing applies to all the other questions. Because the didactic of the Seder table, of the Seder process, is the same. Comes along Rashi in the Mishnah, and Rashi says something extraordinary. When the Mishnah says you eat the karpas, mitabo b'chazeret, you eat the karpas, you dip it into the chazeret, you dip it into the charoset, says Rashi, tibul rishon, the first dipping, kedeshi akir tinok v'yishal. Says Rashi, it's the first dipping that's out of the ordinary, not the second dipping. The second dipping may also be out of the ordinary, perhaps, if you hold one way in the sugya of mitzvot tzuchot kavanah. But the first dipping, Rashi says, should also be extraordinary. Why? Lefi she'ein regilim b'nei adam l'chol yerek kodem suda. Because, says Rashi, it's not normal for somebody to eat a vegetable before the meal. Why do we have a meal and start with a vegetable? Right? Excuse me? Not before you wash, at least not the way we do our meals today. We'll talk about that in a moment. Right? Not before you wash. Is it normal or isn't normal to start a meal with with something before the... So let's assume for Rashi for a moment that the first dipping is also out of the ordinary. You don't normally start a Shabbos meal or a Yontif meal by eating a piece of vegetable. Certainly not the way we do karpas, which is to take half a vegetable, half a piece of cucumber, or half a slice of a potato, dafka less than a kazayit, in order to avoid the question of what bracha to make and what bracha achrona to make, and dafka not maror, in order to avoid the question of what marat, of whether you're allowed to eat maror twice. We avoid all the questions. So what do? We take a little tiny piece of cucumber, and that's our karpas. Now that's not normal. Right? The child asks the question, what did you do that for? Good question.
But the real unusual thing that we don't do is eat matzah.
like every time that we wash and every time we make kiddush, matzah.
Well, so essentially that's the equivalent question. Why are we going from kiddush to karpas and not from kiddush to hamotzi? It's essentially the same question. How did this salad get into the middle? How did this piece of yerek get into the middle? That's essentially the same question. The washing over the karpas we'll address in a moment. Take a look at the Beit Chadash. The Bach, in source number 12, Yoel Sirkis, attempts to address the question, the issue of, let's assume for the moment the child does notice the karpas, and assume for the moment the child asks, how come we're eating a vegetable in between kiddush and hamotzi? And he asks the question, why? Now what's my question? What are we going to answer? What are we going to tell him? We washed we had kiddush. We'll talk about Ntlat Yadayim in a moment, and then we have half a slice of a cucumber, and we say that's our karpas. Why? So says the Bach, two answers. Hatshuvot l'tinokot. What answer are we going to give the child? We have to give the child an answer. Who? The hatibul shekodem suda hu derech chayrut, kederech b'nei chorin shematbilin kodem suda lahamshich tavat ha'machal. The first dipping, says the Bach, we tell the child that the reason why we eat this piece of salad before the meal is because that is in fact normal for a fancy meal. A fancy meal in which you want to begin. How does a fancy meal start? Usually with appetizer or hors d'oeuvres. Appetizer or hors d'oeuvres. Laham shichta vata ma'achal. In order to, why is an appetizer called an appetizer? Because it whets the appetite, because it increases the appetite. You eat a little bit, you want more. So the whole notion here is that it's dafka, very normal to start a fancy meal, derech chayrut, with a first course, a vorspeise, an appetizer, usually salad. Kein katuk tzat mefarshim. And that's what many of the mefarshim say. That's what we explain to the child. So dafka, the karpa serves as the salad course to our meal. It's before hamotzi. Why it's before hamotzi, I'll explain in a moment.
Why is it strange to the child, since he and his family are b'nei peirin?
Oh, so that's my question. The Bach's answer is so good that it undermines the question. If it's normal to eat salad as a first course to a fancy meal, so then there's no question. If it's not normal to eat salad as a first course to a normal meal, then there's no answer. See the circular reasoning? All right. Now, the Bach's not satisfied with that answer, so the Bach gives a second answer, and I love the second answer. V'li nira, da tshuva hi lefi, she'adayin lo agi zman ha'su'uda. It seems to me that the answer is as follows. We are not yet at the time for the meal. De'beinu lememar tchila gadot ha'leila. We have to recite the entire challah. We have to recite the magid. We have to recite challah. We have to recite a lot of... It's going to take time. Magid takes at least an hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours. How long does Magid take? We're not going to get to the meal for a good shtickle sight, as they say. Al kein anu matbilin achshav. Therefore, we eat now the ti'ima ba'alma for a little bit of a bite, just to taste something. What purpose? Lifnei asudat shelo lahashot kolato azman b'li achin lo kolikar. So we shouldn't leave ourselves hungry without anything to eat for that entire time. So because we know we're not going to eat for another 2.5 hours, we're going to eat half a slice of cucumber, and that'll satisfy us for the next 2.5 hours. So we ask, a child asks, why are we eating a first course? And we say to them, oh, good question. You know why we're eating a first course? Because we're not going to eat the meal for 2.5 hours, because we have to eat maggid. So we don't want to be too hungry. Don't eat more than a kazayit. So the child asks a second question that we certainly don't have an answer for, right? Which is why. The whole story of karpas is a mystery. If it's normal, it's eat a salad. If it's not normal, why do you do it? If it's just to be able to get the child to ask a question, then what are we going to answer? Kadesh, karpas, magid. That's what's in the Mishnah. That's what's in we have addressed so far. The two parts of the Seder that we haven't addressed are urchatz and yachatz. Before we eat this karpas, we wash nitlat yadayim. According to the Rambam, we make a bracha al netilat yadayim when we wash for that lettuce. Remember, for the Rambam, it wasn't just half a kazayit. The Rambam had a full kazayit of maror, or of lettuce, as his karpas. The Shulchan Aruch has less than a kazayit dafka, and the Shulchan Aruch says, we don't make a bracha on this washing. We wash without a bracha. So what's going on? Why do we wash in klat yadayim before we eat this piece of lettuce, or this piece of cucumber dipped in salt water? Here the story begins, and I've given you most of the sources on the page. This is actually not a Pesach issue. This is an issue in the laws of Tumah and Tahara. Concept called Tavashitibula B'mashke. If you eat a vegetable or a fruit that is wet, dipped in water, or any liquid of defined specific seven types of liquids. The Gemara basically says, the Gemara Pesachim and Daf Kuftet Vav, source 13, Amar Abulaza Amarav Oshaya Kosha Tibula B'mashke Tzarech Netilat Yadayim, anything, vegetable or fruit that is dipped in any kind of one of these specific liquids, including water, requires washing of the hands. Yes?
I just have a question on the previous point.
Oh, the issue why we eat less than a kazayit? Trying to avoid the question of a bracha achrona. Because you're not going to eat for 2.5 hours. So what do you do with a bracha achrona on this ha'adama? You made a bite for your adama, and then you're going to make a motzi later on. So do you make a, do you have to make a bracha achrona on this ha'adama or not? So if you less than a kazayit, you avoid the problem, you don't have to eat, you don't have to make a bracha achrona. We do, but the customs often developed, at least on the face of it, in order to avoid the problems altogether. There are answers to them, but that's where we avoid the problems altogether. I'll offer you a somewhat better, possibly better explanation of the whole piece, but that's generally the classic answer, which is we eat less than a kazayit in order to avoid the question of a bracha. We'll come back to that in a moment. We're going to review the whole piece, because I want to, once we turn the table on its head, then we're going to go back and review the whole story. Orchatz, we wash in klat yadayim. So the Gemara says, we wash in klat yadayim anytime we eat a fruit or vegetable dipped in liquid. For what purpose? Because the liquid acts as a medium to transfer the tumor from our hands to the fruit or the vegetable. And there was a time when it was important to maintain a level of purity in the food that we ate. Had to do with truma and the food that was given to the Kohanim. And so there was a certain religious level of observance that is not observed today to maintain purity in our fruits and vegetables as well. We only do it for bread. Today we only do it for bread, and collect a dime for hamotzi because of other issues related to truma. This was a practice that was specific to fruits and vegetables. So Tosfot says, in the bottom of the page, source 14. He says, this washing for fruits and vegetables, nira dinitilad dahach alom mishum kedusha v'nekiut, this is not because of sanctity or cleanliness, kima benama, like with, it is with bread, ela mishum shelo yitma hamashkin liyot tchilat, for the purpose of purity, we shouldn't render the fruit impure. Second paragraph, ulefin zen nira de'en levarech ala otanitila. Therefore, there's no mitzvah involved, and we shouldn't make a bracha on this netilah because we don't have such an observance of tumah anymore. So there's no mitzvah, there should be no bracha. V'kosha ken she'enanu nizharim miletam'ot atzmeinu milachol ochlin tme'in. We don't really do this anymore. We don't maintain that level of purity in our food. V'enanu tzuchin la'otan netilah. We don't need this washing at all, technically. And therefore, certainly it's not going to require a bracha. And with regards to general practice, not Pesach, but general practice, whenever you take up an apple, put it under the faucet and wash it. We all wash our fruits before we eat them, right? You wash your apple and then you take it. Do you wash in klat yadayim? No. Why not? Gemara says you should. So the reason we don't do it is based on the poskim in source 16, the Magen Avraham says, that many of the poskim, he quotes particularly the Lechem Chamudot, he says, Olam noagim shelo litol. The custom today is not to wash in tachidayim in general. And they certainly have what to rely on, such as the source in Tosfot. We don't do it. So asking the obvious question. When do we do it? Pesach night. One time a year, we wash in tachidayim before we eat a vegetable dipped in a liquid. The only time we do it is Pesach night. Not necessarily. That's the way you were raised, but that's not necessarily the case. Halachically, no, absolutely not. We do not wash for wet fruits or vegetables today anymore, period. That halacha has gone the way of the history books for now. Except for one night a year. Except for Purim. Except for Pesach night. Turn Pesach into Purim. Except for Pesach night. Now, it goes even further than that. The halacha is, if you eat your vegetable with a fork instead of with your hands, generally, you don't need to wash until tachidayim. No. Generally. The halacha is, if you eat less than a kazayit, you don't need to wash until tachidayim. What do? We eat a karpas with a fork, less than a kazayit, one night a year, and we wash until tachidayim. What have we done? Says the Chok Yaakov, source 17, says the Chok Yaakov, v'had notlim b'leil zeh, the fact that we washed in Tlachidayim this night, why do we do it? Echad min shar shinuyim sho'osim b'leil zeh k'dei she'ishalu. It's one of those things we do in order to encourage the questions. So a child asks why we wash in Tlachidayim for karpas, and we answer, well, we don't have to normally wash in Tlachidayim for vegetables, because we don't practice by this halacha of washing our hands for vegetables anymore. But why do we do it tonight? Good question. We do it because we wanted you to ask that question. And what's the reason? Because we wanted you to ask the question. But why? Because. And we're back to square one. And the argument goes in the circle. Kadesh, Akirat HaShulchan, Urchatz, Karpas. What's next? Yachatz. We divide the middle matzah. Here's an interesting story. When do we divide the middle matzah? So here again we have a machloket, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, a fascinating machloket. It starts with how many matzahs do we have on Pesach night? How many here have three matzahs Pesach night? How many here have two matzahs Pesach night? No? All right. No followers of the Rambam. The Rambam says there are two matzahs Pesach night. The Shulchan Aruch paskins there are three. What's the issue? The issue is very simple. The Gemara says that Pesach night you need lechem oni. Lechem oni means poor man's bread. Source number 18. Amar Shmuel, lechem oni, lechem shonin alav dvarim habay. Lechem oni means bread about which you say many words. Magid. And lechem oni means ma oni darko b'pusa afkam b'pusa, just as the poor man eats half a loaf of bread or half a piece of bread, he never has a full loaf. So too, we want to demonstrate poverty this night and not wealth. And so we want to have half a loaf and not a full loaf. So we break half the middle matzah, or half the matzah, put half of it away for the afikomen, and we leave ourselves with a matzah and a half, or two and a half matzahs. The machloket, the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, how many matzahs to have, is completely unrelated to our issue. That machloket is because I have two values in conflict with each other, Seder night. One value is the requirement for Lecha Mishnah. The other value is the requirement for Dafka, not Lecha Mishnah. Dafka, half a loaf, and not a full loaf. I am at a collision of two halachic values. The Rambam paskins that the requirement of Lecha Oni overrides the normal requirement of Lecha Mishnah. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, no, you need to fulfill both, and therefore you need an extra matzah, two whole for Lecha Mishnah, half for Lecha Oni. That's how the 2 verses 3 came about. However, here's another issue. We break the middle matzah. When? So here, if you go back to the first page, to the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, when do we break the middle matzah? Logically, when should we break the middle matzah? When we're ready to eat the matzah. And if you look at the Rambam, that's exactly what the Rambam says. In the Rambam, in source number 2, after Kiddush, after Orchatz, after Karpas, after Magid, then in the bottom we get to Rachtzan's Halacha Vav, bottom of the page, Notel Yadav Shniya, Lokeach Shnei Kikin Cholek Echad Mehenu Meniach Parus L'Toch Shalem. You take two loaves of bread, you break one, you put half aside, and you put the half one inside the second one, and you make Hamotzi, and you make Alachilat Matzah. So the Rambam has Yachatz right before we eat, which makes sense. The Shulchan Aruch, on the left-hand side of the page, source number 3, has Yachatz when? Before Magid. Kadesh, Orchatz, Karpas, Yachatz. You take half a matzah, you divide it in half, you take half, you put it away for the Afikomen. You hide it. And then you remove the Seder plate. You take the Seder plate, you put it away as if we've already eaten. So that the children will ask. In other words, when you break the matzah, what does that symbolize? What does that signify? When do you break the matzah? When do you cut the bread? When you're about to eat. You take half the matzah, you stick it away, and you take the rest of the matzah, and you put it away at the end of the meal, as if you've already eaten, and the child sits there and says, hey, wait a second, I want matzah. And you say to the child, well, we're not ready for the matzah. And the child asks, but then why did you break it? And you answer, because we wanted you to ask why we break the matzah. Right, catching on. What do we answer to such a brilliant question of why we broke the matzah now and not later? Yes? It's a very good question. Why do we have this poverty symbol on Pesach night? We'll have to come back to Shabbos HaGod Al Drasha next year, and maybe I'll deal with it. It's a separate discussion. It's a very long discussion, a very important one, but it's not germane to this issue. It has to do with the double theme that runs through the whole Seder of slavery and freedom. And that, it's a dual theme that runs through the whole Seder. Says the Beit Yosef in source number 19, that we break the middle matzah at this point in the Seder, and we do so for three reasons, he says. Haminhag lechalkam kodem sheikra ha'agada, the reason we break them now before we read the Haggadah, kidei sheyomar alav halach ma'anya, because we have to recite halach ma'anya. According to the Beit Yosef, why do we break the middle matzah before Magid? Why don't we wait until we make Hamotzi? So the second reason he offers is kidei sheyiruatina kotvi yishalu, so the children will ask questions. But before he does that, he offers a different explanation. We break the middle matzah now because we have to say halach ma'anya. Magid begins with an invitation, correct? The invitation is halach ma'anya. And halach ma'anya, we have to hold up the broken piece of matzah. So we can't hold up a whole piece of matzah, we have to hold up half a matzah. And half a matzah, we recite the following. This is the poor man's bread that our forefathers ate in Egypt. All who are hungry, let him come and join us. Kol dichvin yetev yechol. And so since we have to make this declaration, we need half a matzah. So what's my question?
It's kind of late to give the invitation.
It's kind of late to give the invitation. Actually, I thought it's kind of early. Everybody asks the question, why is it late? It's late because in our societies, there aren't people walking around the streets. But in Bavel, the communities were all integrated, and if you opened the door and you saw somebody in the street, you invited them in. So the invitation wasn't particularly late, in my opinion. The invitation is particularly early. Why? What have you just said? Kol dechvin yetev yechol. If you're hungry, come and eat. Right. So I knock on the door and I say, okay, I'm hungry. Oh, wonderful. Come, sit down, join us at the Seder. You're hungry? Great. Sit down here for 2.5 hours. We'll get to Shulchan Aruch in a little while.
This is only after
Yes, it's after Churban Bayit. I understand. We'll talk about the timing of Halach Manya, time permitting, in a few minutes. But during that period of time, it's a short window of Halach Manya. I'll explain why. But Halach Manya essentially invites them to join us for the meal. When should Halach Manya be?
Before
the meal. So what's the answer? We need them at the table for Magid also. So we invite them on the pretense that they're hungry to the Seder table so that we can catch them with a lengthy Magid, and then they'll be ready for the meal too, if they survive that long, considering the fact that they walked in because they were hungry. So just in case we weren't satisfied with that answer as to why we break the matzah, the Tosfot offer, Beit Yosef offers a second answer, which is, Kadesha Yiru HaTinokot VeYishalu, so that our children should see that we break the matzah too early, and if we're ready to eat, and we ask the question, but we're not. Why are we breaking the matzah if we're not starting the meal yet now? And the answer is, in order that you should ask the question, why are we breaking the matzah now if we're not ready to eat? Fair enough? Finally, the last issue. The last issue we come back to is Manishtan. And this is my favorite of all of the questions that introduced this shiur, and we're still at the introduction part of the shiur, by the way. We'll start the shiur in a moment. Of all of the questions, this is my favorite. Mozgin lo kos sheni, v'tan kadesh, orchatz, karpas, yachatz. Now we're up to Magid. Mozgin lo kos sheni, v'kan haben shoel. We pour the second cup of wine, and here the child asks. Okay. What does it mean, Mozgun lo kos sheni v'kan haben shoel? Here the child asks. So the Shulchan Aruch says, source 21, Mozgun lo kos sheni, we pour the second cup of wine, kidei sheha yishalu hatinokot. We pour the second cup of wine here in order that the child should ask questions. Remember, when do we need the second cup of wine? Second cup of wine is on the bracha of Asher Golanu, the bracha of Magid. When do I need the second cup? At the end of Magid. The matzah I need for Magid. The marah I need for Magid. The cup of wine I don't need until the bracha. Right? When do we pour a cup of wine for Benjamin? Before Benjamin. We don't pour it at the beginning of the meal and leave it on the meal until we're ready to bench. We pour the cup to the bracha of Geula. So why do we pour it before the Magid begins? Says the Shulchan Aruch, Kedei she'ish al ha'tinokot. So the child will ask, wait a second. We normally pour a second cup of wine for... When did a normal Shabbos Yontif meal, when do we pour a second cup of wine? Benching. But we're not benching yet. Lama shotim kos sheni kodem suta. What do we have? Second cup of wine before the meal? Second cup of wine comes after the meal, for benching. You've poured the second cup of wine, you haven't started the meal yet. You follow the argument? So my question is, the child asks, why we pour a second cup of wine? And you'll answer, because we wanted you to ask why we pour a second cup of wine. And then we come to my favorite question. How many things have we seen so far in the Haggadah that we do for the sole purpose of getting the child to ask creative and interesting questions? Let's list them. Number one, we take the Seder plate away. Number two, we wash in Tzatzadayim when we ordinarily don't need to. Number three, we eat a vegetable, karpas, we eat some kind of a salad before the meal begins. Half a kazayit of a piece of cucumber to hold us over for 3 hours. Number four, we break the middle matzah prematurely. Number five, we pour a second cup of wine before we have even begun to eat. Says the Mishnah, the Kan ben Shoel. Finally, the child stands up, confounded and confused, in an absolute tiz. And he stands up and he says, I can't hold myself back anymore. I have to ask the question. No, what's the question? I have five questions I expect him to ask. What does he ask? Every other year we eat matzah, we eat bread. Tonight we eat matzah. Rabbi Shalom, has he seen the matzah yet? Has he eaten matzah yet? Every other year we eat maror. We eat vegetables. Tonight we eat maror. He hasn't touched the maror yet. What does he know about maror? He knows about taking the table away. He knows about breaking the bread. He knows about yachatz early. He knows about washing klal yadayim. He asks four questions. Not one of them has he seen yet. Not one.
Leaning
on the second time. But notice the language of the Mishnah. The language of the Mishnah doesn't say all other nights we don't lean at all. Today we, first of all, leaning's not on the Mishnah at all. Leaning's not on the Mishnah. The question about leaning is not in the Mishnah. You know that, right? There's a change in the text of the Manishtana between the time of the Mishnah and the time of the Haggadah. The four questions in the Mishnah are on the right-hand side of this page. They are, why do we eat matzah? Why do we eat maror? Question three. Shebechol halaylot anu ochlim basar tzli shalukum uvushal halayla zekulot tzli. Every other night we can eat our meat anywhere we like, roasted, cooked, baked, rotisserie, it doesn't matter. Tonight we only eat roasted meat. When do we eat roasted meat? It's part of the Korban Pesach, which the child has not yet seen or eaten or partaken in. And the fourth question is, and listen to the language of the fourth question. Shebechol halelot anu matpilin pamachat. Halayla ze shtei pamim. Every other night we dip once. Tonight we dip twice. Dipping once is normal, says the Mishnah. Dipping twice is abnormal. Our Mishnah, our Haggadah, has both dippings as abnormal because the whole karpas issue ran into confusion. And we replaced the question about the Korban Pesach with the question about leaning, which is not in the Mishnah. But the oddity is, and the only one to point, one of the early Rishonim to point this out was the Meiri. He says the four questions, the language, the Meiri is not on your source sheet, so I'll read you the language. He says, the child asks, and if the child doesn't ask, the wife asks, and if the wife doesn't ask, he asks himself. That's the answer to your question earlier. Even though the four questions should begin with the story of the table, we add the four questions that are in the Mishnah. So the Meiri's attempt to address this question was to say we have to ask those five questions and then we add the four questions of the Mishnah. That's what the Mishnah says. In the Mishnah there are four questions about the meal that he hasn't eaten yet and he hasn't seen yet. And the five questions about what he's already done don't appear. See the mystery? Okay. That's my question. That's the beginning of my shiur. That's the introduction. Now we can start.
Is it one week or one? It's one.
It's okay. I won't finish later than I anticipated of 9:30. Not to worry.
The same is on. So the first question is still chala. Then he becomes a rabbi. And he has no idea what he wants to win.
No. So here's where the story begins. The Netziv, it's a fascinating Netziv. The Netziv makes the following observation. One of the questions that we asked is why are we washing klal yadayim tonight? For karpas. Why do we wash our hands? What are we doing in the washing of our hands that we don't do any other time of the year? The answer of the Netziv to that question, I think, opens a window into a whole new approach to understanding the Seder. And he says as follows, in source 22, Hakanat haseder shel Pesach inhigu chazal la'asot dugma kemo sheyu noagim be'eretz Yisrael bezman achilat haPesach. He says, the night of the Seder, we want to, as much as possible, try to recreate what it felt like to be in Yerushalayim at the time of the Beit HaMikdash. And even though we don't wash and collect a dime for eating our vegetables any other time of the year, but Pesach night, we want that sense of what it was like to have a Korban Pesach. We don't have the Korban Pesach, but it was the primary mitzvah of the night. We lose sight of the fact that the essence of the Seder is missing. What's the primary mitzvah of the Seder? What's the central mitzvah of the Seder? It's not Magid. And it's not matzah, and it's not maror. The central mitzvah of the Seder is the Korban Pesach. And everything else revolves around it. Al matzot u'mararim yochluhu. The Korban Pesach was eaten together with matzah and maror. The matzah and maror don't have independent status outside of the Korban Pesach. Maror certainly doesn't, except in the Rabbanan. And matzah is a machloket poskim, whether or not there's a biblical mitzvah outside of the Korban Pesach. But even if there is, it's based on a completely different pasuk. Ve'erev techlu matzot. But the primary mitzvah of the night was Pesach, with the matzah and the maror addendum to it. And then you sat back with the matzah, the maror, and the Pesach, and you told the story of what the Pesach represents. Our seders are missing the central motif of what Pesach is all about. We don't have the Korban Pesach. Says the Netziv, because of that, there's a pain that runs to the seder, and we try to deflect that pain somewhat by attempting to feel a little bit of what it was like to have the Pesach. And so, ma tam notlim li yadayim l'tibula b'mashka, why do we, mizeh tam notlim yadayim l'tibula b'mashka, that's why we wash our hands for vegetables, because that was how we conducted ourselves in the time of the Beit HaMikdash. We want to feel that sense of what it was like to be in the Beit HaMikdash. By the way, in the second paragraph, which I won't read now, read it on your own, he says that's why we wear a kittel at the Seder. We wear a kittel at the Seder because it was part of the Big Day Kahuna. And we want to feel that sense of the Beit HaMikdash. So let's do a time warp and put ourselves back into the world of the Beit HaMikdash and the world of Pesach when you had a Korban Pesach. And the world of the Seder when you had a Korban Pesach. The central mitzvah of the night is the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach has a number of halachot attached to it that we need to be aware of. Number one, the Korban Pesach was not your main course. Contrary to popular belief, your meal was not your Korban Pesach. Your meal was your Korban Chagiga. Your meal was a different offer. The Pesach was eaten like we eat the Afikom. Alasova, it's dessert. And with the Korban Pesach was matzah and maror, because the Pesach had to be eaten with matzah and maror, which means the matzah and maror were not your primary mitzvah at the early part of the meal, they were part of your Pesach mitzvah, which is at the end of the meal. And here I want to introduce you to a Rishon known as the Mordechai. In source 23, Mordechai raises the question about the Korach. Remember that sandwich that we eat? Zecher l'mikdash gehila. We eat the sandwich as if we're eating the Korban Pesach. Pesach, matzah, and maror. That's what Hillel used to do when there was a base of mikdash. He used to put the Pesach, the matzah, and the maror together, and you eat and you ate it. Mordechai has a simple question. He says, when did you eat the Korban Pesach? Before the meal or after the meal? When did you eat the Korban Pesach? After the meal. So why is Korach before the meal? Korach should be part of Afikomen. Correct? It says the Mordechai, Minadin haya lanu la'asot hakricha lebasof shel asuda. Really, we should make Korach at the end of the meal. You're right. Just as they had the Pesach at the end of the meal with matzah and maror. Lachar asuda, after the meal. El ho'il v'hitchil b'mitzvot matzah maror b'tchilat asuda ho'lech v'gomer kol mitzvoto. But we're already holding the matzah and maror in our hands. So you hop around, you do both mitzvot at the same time. But you're right. V'chein haya nira l'Rabbeinu Simcha. This should be Rabbeinu Simcha, not Rabbeinu Meir. That's a typo, my error. I copied the Mordechai. This, and it would seem to Rabbeinu Simcha, listen to this whopper. Shebizman Beit HaMikdash Kayam, when the Beit HaMikdash stood, hayu osin kol haseder achar hasi'uda. Their seders were reversed. And the seders were reversed for good reason. The Magid is not an independent matzah. Is not an independent mitzvah. The Magid is b'shash yesh matzah maror munach lefenecha. The Magid is over the matzah and the maror. But the matzah and the maror is over the Korban Pesach. And the Korban Pesach comes first. Your meal comes first. Then your Korban Pesach. Then your Magid. Says the Mordechai at the time of the Beit HaMikdash, the whole sequence was different. And the Mishnah, don't forget, is written at the time of the Beit HaMikdash. Our problem with understanding the Mishnah is that we're trying to impose our sequence in the Haggadah into the Mishnah, but the Mishnah was written at a time when the sequence was different. And according to the, if you reverse the sequence of the Seder, this is what the Seder looks like. Okay? Follow me through for a moment. This is what the Seder looks like if you reverse it around. You start with Kiddush. Mazgin l'kos rishon. Then, your next course is going to be Hamotzi. But before Hamotzi, you're going to have a first course appetizer, Vorspeise. Not, as we do it, half a piece of kazayit, but rather a full salad. Now, how can you can have salad before Hamotzi and not after Hamotzi? After all, you have to wash and tlat yadayim. Right? Except that they wash and tlat yadayim for any vegetable dipped in a liquid. And if you look at the Rambam carefully, the Rambam writes that the reason you have to wash again for Hamotzi, remember the Rambam washes for karpas. So if you wash the karpas with a bracha, why do you have to wash again for Hamotzi? So the Rambam says the reason they have to wash again is because you had 2.5 hours in between, you had Hesach Hadat, you interrupted. But if you didn't have an interruption, you went from the salad to Hamotzi, you only need to wash once. So you're washing tlat yadayim, and you had your salad dipped in your charoset, which required washing, and you made a bracha, exactly as you would absolutely ordinary standard affair for a large fancy meal. Salad first. Then, you take your matzah, and you break it. Lechem oni. And then you eat the matzah. Esk isn't the hate one kid. Then you eat the matzah. And then, after you have the kaddish, urchatz, karpas, yachatz, what comes next? You're going to eat. So then, in a very short window after the Churban, and I want to pause for a moment. For a very short period of time after the Churban Abayit, they were still doing this. The transition from the sequence of the Seder as it was in the time of the Mishnah to the sequence of the Seder as it is today takes place in the time of the Amoraim, the story of Abaye and Rava, where this uprooting the table is still a mystery to them. Abaye never saw it before. So the time of the Gemara and time of the Mishnah and the Tanaim in the Mishnah, they had still done this in reverse. This is an answer to one of the great mysteries of the Seder. The story of Rabbi Akiva and his friends in Bnei Brak. Sitting, eating the Seder and telling the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim all night long. Says the Mishnah. The more you tell the story, the better. Except that you have to eat the Afikoman by midnight. So how long can you tell the story? You have to be done by Chatzot. Right? So everybody asks the question, how could they be sitting in Bnei Brak telling the story till the morning dawn? After all, they have to be done by Chatzot. So the standard answer is that they split the Maggid. They told half the story at the beginning, then they had the meal, then they went back to Maggid and stayed up all night long. Says the Sfat Emet, it's not possible, it's not logical that they would have changed the order of the Seder. So the Sfat Emet says they were engaged in Maggid for so much time and in such depth that they forgot about the mitzvah of matzah and marah. Sfat Emet. Says Rav Breuer, I'll give you a different answer. Sequence was reversed. They had the Shulchan Aruch first. They had the Pesach matzah and marah first. Then they started Maggid all night long. Isn't that? So for a generation or two or three after the Churban, they're still doing the sequence of the Seder in this fashion. That's when Halach Ma'anya was written. And that's why it's at the beginning of Maggid. You open up the door and you say, hey folks, come in and join us, we're about to eat. And you know what? They sat at the eight. Halach Ma'anya. Kol Dechrin, Yesev Yeichu, come and join us. Remind me, don't let me leave before I tell you the pshat in the last two lines of Halach Ma'anya. But I'm going to come back to it. Then we get to Korach, bring out the Pesach, bring out the Matzah, bring out the Marah, eat them, enjoy them, fulfill the mitzvah, Pesach, Matzah, and Marah. And then we get to Maggid. When we get to Maggid, Rabbi Gamliel says, Pesach, you don't have to point to the Pesach and say, Pesach zeh, she'anu ochlim. If best you could say, Pesach she'achanu, the Pesach we ate, the Matzah we ate, the Marah we fulfilled. And it's all there. The Kana ben Shoel, Mosgul Lokosheni, at the beginning of Maggid, which is after, the beginning of the The Maggid, which is after the meal. And the child stands up and he asks four questions. What are his questions? They're not about taking the table plate away, because that's absolutely normal. They're not about, right? You clear the table, you pour the second cup of wine, you're ready for the Maggid. The child asks, why do we eat matzah? Why do we eat maror? Why do we eat Korban Pesach roasted? Why do we eat a second dipping of the maror? We had maror twice. All of that is over things that the child has seen with his own eyes. That's what's out of the ordinary. What happened afterwards? What happened afterwards was that as it came clear that they would no longer have the Korban Pesach, and remember that in the time of Rabbi Akiva, they were not anticipating not having the Korban Pesach long term. Remember the Bar Kokhba revolt. They saw it as a temporary gap. So they weren't going to change the Seder for a year or two or three or five or 50. But by the third or fourth or fifth generation, sitting in Bavel, when they realized they were not going back to Yerushalayim so fast, at that point they had a different problem. Without the Korban Pesach, what's the main mitzvah of the Seder night without the Korban Pesach? Maggid. How can you do Maggid after you finish eating? The halacha is when there's a mitzvah to be performed, you can't eat before you do the mitzvah. So they switched it around. But when they switched it around, they didn't simply shift the whole Seder. All they did was they took the meal, they left the entire sequence of the Seder intact. They took the meal, they pulled it out, cut, and paste. And they moved it to after Maggid. But they left the entire introduction of the Seder intact. Why? Because now nothing makes sense. The moment you do that, the whole introduction of the Seder is a mystery. So why didn't they change it? Then there's no point in eating a vegetable anymore, and there's no point in breaking the matzah now, and there's no point to taking the table away because they haven't eaten yet. But they left it all. Why? So that the child should ask the question, why? And what are you going to answer? So here's the way the sequence of the Seder works now. Kadesh. You make Kiddush. Right. You start with Kiddush, and you start immediately with Kadesh Urchatz, you wash and collect your dayim. The child stands and he says, wait a second, Tata, I don't understand. Why are we washing and collect your dayim? What are we eating? Half a piece of carcass. And what are you going to answer? And we never wash and collect your dayim for vegetables. What are you going to answer? My son, you're right. 100% right. But once upon a time, we had a Beit HaMikdash. And when we had a Beit HaMikdash, we had a Korban Pesach, we ate first. And we had a meal that was fit for a king. And we had a vegetable as we had a full salad as a first course. Nebuch, today, Bavonotenu HaRabim, we don't have a Beit HaMikdash, so we have to satisfy ourselves with a little piece of carcass. Why do we wash and collect Yadayim? Because once upon a time we had a Beit HaMikdash and we had to observe all the laws of Tumah and Tara. But today, we don't have a Beit HaMikdash, but we want to remind ourselves that one day we will go back and have a Beit HaMikdash and have a Korban Pesach. Then we sit down, we have this karpas. Kadesh Urchatz, karpas. Yachatz, we break the middle matzah as if we're about to eat. And the child sits there and asks, Tata, I don't understand. Why did you break the middle the matzah? You're not ready to make a matzah yet. And you answer, yes, because once upon a time we had a Korban Pesach. And when we had a Korban Pesach, we ate first. We didn't have to sit the 4 hours of Maggid before we ate. We could enjoy the meal. And then sit and tell the story all night long. And so we made Hamotzi at this part of the Seder. But Nebuch, today, Bavonotenu HaRabim, we don't have a Beit HaMikdash. But we left the Hamotzi, the breaking of the Matzah, at this point in the Seder, so that you should ask, why? I should be able to tell you about the story of the Beit HaMikdash and the Pesach that's missing from our Seder. Then we take the Seder plate and we move it as if we're ready to bench. And the child sits and he says, Dad, I don't understand. We haven't eaten yet, why did you take the plate away? And you answer, because once upon a time, we had a Beit HaMikdash. When we had a Beit HaMikdash, we ate the Seder, and we ate the Korban Pesach, and then we cleared the table. And now we don't have a Beit HaMikdash, but we left it here for you to be able to ask, so we could answer that once upon a time, we had a Beit HaMikdash. And one day we'll go back to it. Halach ma'anyu, we invite all the guests. We sit them down at the table. We tell them, are you hungry? They say, yes, great, come and join us. We're going to eat in 3 hours. Why aren't we going to eat now? I'll tell you why. Because Hashtahacha L'shanah Ba'arad Yisrael. If Because now we're sitting in Golos. We're sitting here in St. Louis. We're sitting in Bavel. And we don't have a Beit HaMikdash. We don't have a Korban Pesach. And that's why Nebuch, we have to reverse the Seder. So I'm explaining to you, my guests, who I just invited to my table because you're hungry, why it's going to take us 3 hours before you're going to eat. Because Hashtach, Lashana Bavarad Yisrael, because right now we're in Chutzlars. Not only are we in Chutzlars, but Hashta Avdei Lashana Bab in Echorin. This year, we're slaves. Even if we were in Eretz Yisrael, we're slaves. Because being in Eretz Yisrael isn't enough. Unless we have a Beit HaMikdash. Unless we can go back to building a Korban, having a Korban Pesach. So it's a two-stage process. We have to go back to Eretz Yisrael, and we have to build a Beit HaMikdash. And then we can have a Korban Pesach. And then we can go back to having our meals first before the Seder and understanding the sequence of the Seder in process that says Korban Pesach first, Matzah Mora, and then all night long we can tell the story. But in the meantime, Hashta Achal Lashana Babane Abarad Yisrael, Hashta Abdullah Shana Babane Chari. And all of the questions that we, all of the practices, all of those rituals, the beginning of the Seder, up till Magid, as I said, they're all up till Magid. Because post-Magid, the Seder makes perfect sense. The mystery of the Seder is only up till Magid. Because it was a snapshot. It was a picture of what the Seder looked like when we had a Beit HaMikdash. And it's missing the central motif, which was that we ate the Korban Pesach at that moment. Took it out and left the snapshot to encourage the question and to encourage the answer. And the answer is one answer, a refrain to every question, which focuses the Seder on the one piece of the Seder that is significantly absent. And that is the Korban Pesach, which will one day be restored, v'mehera b'yameinu.